Getting high. How many people are summer people? Like, you like summer. You like summer, all right? You like summer? I like summer. June 21st, it already feels like summer, but officially, June 21st is summer. One day after my big boy turns 7 years old, shout out to Caleb. Happy early 7th birthday. But now, even though summer is hot, a lot of times it's my experience that many of us Christians cool off. And I ain't talking about under the AC. I'm talking about we tend to cool off in our relationship with the Lord. Let me just talk about myself. And in our relationships with other Christians. And for many of us, let's just be real. It's easy to be inconsistent with a more laid-back schedule. That's for some of us. Everybody's schedule ain't laid-back. It's easier when we get to go and have more outdoor options and barbecue options and when we get to sleep in a little bit more or travel or go on vacations. And all of this is good. I'm looking forward to all of that good stuff. But honestly, I can just be more undisciplined when I don't have that pattern that I usually have throughout the year. Anybody with me? Is that just me? Okay, maybe it's just me. I'll preach to myself. But my prayer is not this summer. Not this summer. By God's grace, we're about to stay lit. And we're about to serve the community together in Jesus' name. And so please continue to pray for this summer series and the book study that God would use what we're about to dive into, spiritual disciplines, as like burners on a stove. You know, you got a stove. You got four burners usually, and those burners are used to keep pots warm or boil water or to cook. When we talk about spiritual disciplines, we're talking about burners on the stove that God uses to keep your walk with Him and your love for Him boiling for His glory. Not just for the summer, but just for a lifetime. And so last week, we looked at four of these boilers as kind of an introduction to the spiritual discipline series. We talked about submission, how the Lord wants a humble, submitted heart. And Isaiah 57 says, He lifts up and He revives those that come to Him and say, I can't do it on my own. He will revive that kind of heart if you humbly come before the Lord. And then last week we said, seeking God. Psalm 69 says, those who seek God, their hearts revive, because God is a consuming fire. And when you dip your heart into the blaze of God, He will ignite your passion again, and that's the power of prayer. And then we also saw that the scripture says in Psalm 19, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the heart. And so, did you not know, can I see your eyes, that this is a torch? This is a torch. It's not just a book. You mess around and get in this book, it'll be a torch to set your heart on fire for Jesus, and others around you will see it. And then finally, we saw that singing. So a submitted heart, a seeking heart, a heart in the scriptures, and singing. Sometimes when you're down and lonely and discouraged, you just begin to sing to God, and the Lord just reawakens your passions again. And so, this morning, I want to dive into this new series called Stay Lit, how to stay close to Jesus through the spiritual disciplines. What are spiritual disciplines? Okay? Spiritual disciplines are spiritual practices that you, as a Christian, this is those who follow Jesus, devote yourself to on a daily basis, not to gain acceptance with God, but to enjoy acceptance with God that you already have through Jesus Christ. Okay? So these are spiritual practices that Christians use not to gain acceptance with God. Jesus gained your acceptance with God. But these are spiritual practices that you use to enjoy the acceptance with God that Jesus already purchased for you on the cross. Praise God for spiritual disciplines. They are simply gracious ways that God has given us to stay close to Jesus. That they are God's gracious ways that He has given us to stay close to Jesus and keep our passion for Him burning. And I tell you this, if you're not enjoying closeness with Jesus, if I'm not enjoying intimacy with Jesus, it's probably because we are neglecting the spiritual disciplines almost every time. Almost every time. You see why it's so crucial for us to dive into this series? You see why it's so crucial for us to grow in this, whether you're young in Christ or a mature believer? And so, let's just talk about spiritual disciplines a little bit. When we think about spiritual disciplines, this is what I was thinking about, Mark. When we think about spiritual disciplines, we should think love, not law. Okay, love, not law. Can you say that with me?
Love,
not law. All right? So it's not like, I gotta read my Bible. Oh, I gotta read. Oh, I gotta read my Bible like this. I gotta read it. It's the Bible. No. Let reading the Bible be love motivated.
Yeah, that's good.
1 John 4:19 says, we love because He first loved us. Right? Loved ones, we get to love God back every day in our lives through the spiritual disciplines. Amen? Not only that, when we think about spiritual disciplines, we should think grace, not rule keeping. Grace, not rule keeping. And let's say that together. Grace, not rule keeping. Oh, I better pray this morning. I better pray. Oh, I better pray. Oh, Lord, I better pray. No. Let prayer be grace energized. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, what is grace? Free, kind power that saves us. That's all it is, free, kind power that saves us. He says His grace to me was not without effect. He says God's saving kindness had a powerful effect on me. He says grace energized me to work harder than the others, yet it was not I, but the grace of God working in me. Paul's response to the grace of God that saved him, freed him up to go after God. Listen, grace ones, we are energized by God's kindness to us in Christ to press on to know Jesus and to make Him known. So think love, not law. Think grace, not rule keeping. And then one more. When we think about spiritual disciplines, we should think God, not self-effort. We should think God, not self-effort. All right? Let's try that. Think God, not self-effort. I got to be self-motivated. I got to throw up my sleeve. I got to do this. I got to pray. I got to. No. It's not, oh man, I got to do these things. No. It's not I got it. Listen to Philippians 2:12-13 in the Living Translation. I like how it breaks it down. It says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, because God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. I love that. He says, work hard. Why? Because God is working in you. God is carrying you along. God is doing it, but you're doing it. You're praying, but God is praying through you. You're reading, but God is reading through you. Learn how that is. It's like, Lord, I don't understand. It's not a good example, but it's the best I got for right now. If you got a better one, talk to me after the service. How is it that I'm reading the Bible, but it's supposed to be an expression of God giving me power to read the Bible? And I think sometimes when I go to the house and I live on a couple acres, and And we got this farm area with this big circle drive, and little Caleb or Kelly will say, "Daddy, can I drive?" And I'm like, "Daddy, you can drive, man. Get on my lap. You're about to drive." And they get on my lap, and they're driving, and they're driving, but are they really driving? They're on my lap, I'm guiding them, my foot is on the gas, and I got a little finger just in case they don't run into the house. Yeah. Like this. So I'm supplying the power with my foot and the guidance in my head. But keep driving. That's a picture of the Christian life. That will encourage you that you're sitting on your Father's lap. He's giving you the love and the grace and the power, and you're just carrying it out. A beautiful dance the Christian life is. This is not law. This is grace. Yeah. This is not legalism. It's love. It's not self-effort, even though you have a part to play. It's God. Guiding your devotional life. And when you really understand this, praying and reading your Bible and living in close community with other believers becomes so much more than disciplines. Right? They become, I love the title of this book that we're studying this summer. They become, when you understand it, they become habits of grace. Right? That draw you deeper into Jesus. When you understand Bible reading and spiritual disciplines like this, they become pathways to power. That resurrect your passion for Jesus. When you understand spiritual disciplines like this, they become pipelines of pleasure that satisfy your heart in the presence of God. That's a totally different way to see these beautiful things we call spiritual disciplines. But I just want to tell you, let's be real. Don't get it twisted, all right? We call them spiritual disciplines. Right? Can you say discipline?
Discipline.
That's not a pretty word. I don't like that word. I wish it wasn't in this. I don't like discipline. But it's called spiritual disciplines for a reason. Most of us don't like the word discipline. Spiritual disciplines involve the exertion of energy. Alright? Spiritual discipline involves hard work. Right? Sacrifice. Self-discipline. So we understand that what we're talking about, even though it's grace motivated, it's not for the lazy, but it is for the love. Love wins out over laziness every time. Listen to what Coach Paul says to the young Christian athlete, Timothy, regarding spiritual disciplines. He says in 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, this might be familiar to some of you, listen. He says, Timothy, this is the coach, do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. All right, Timothy, don't waste your time, Timothy. All right, you will not be fit that way for what you've called to do, young athlete. He says, instead, watch this, train yourself to be godly. The ESV says, train yourself for godliness. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. He says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. So he says, Timothy, stop doing the things that won't build up your spiritual muscle. He says, Timothy, you got to understand, when you became a Christian, you became an athlete. You have to train yourself to be godly. He says, physical training is good. How many of y'all do some physical training? All right? Three of y'all. Okay. All right, physical training. You know, right? You know, just give lunges. You know, physical training, right? Running around and all of that. That's good. But he says, training for godliness is much better.
Yeah.
Can you say much better?
Much better.
Yeah. Much better. Push ups are good, but lifting, good. Running, good. But he says,
much better to do those things to build your spirit man up, because those things benefit you when you die. I don't care how many push-ups you do, you're going to die.
Now, if I do 1,000 every day, well, Herschel Walker did 1,000 every day, and he's going to die. The fittest man in the world is going to die. But there's a way that you can spiritually exercise that will benefit you after the grave. That's the kind of workout that I want. How many athletes do we have in here? And I know we're really, really out of here. Okay, all right. We got some athletes. What kind of things do athletes do to stay physically fit? This is a time where we, you know, we have a little interaction. What kind of things do athletes do to stay physically fit?
Train.
That's good.
Diet.
Run.
Workout.
Go to practice.
Sleep well.
Right? These are the kind of things that we do to become physically fit, competitive, champions. Now look, how much more we saved ones should give ourselves to becoming spiritually fit in the pursuit of our beautiful Savior. If we do all these things, I mean, it's amazing what athletes will sacrifice and devote themselves to in order to be the best that they can be. Now, I was an athlete basically from when I was little all the way up to college. I was a college athlete. Now, I get humbled because I didn't go to the biggest schools, right? I was a college athlete. You know, so can I be real? I just say, hey man, I played college ball. Where'd you play? In Nebraska. You don't need to ask me no more questions. I've matured to the point of being able to say that. And then they say, somebody will be, why? I try to leave before they ask the second or the next question. What school did you go to? And then it's like, college. Like, what? Then I had a guy a couple weeks ago, got real specific. He said, what did you say? I said, Dana College. Never heard of that. Okay, that's fine. It's there. Well, it's not no more. So that's another question. That's another. This is homework. I was a college athlete, okay? That's all I want to say. But it's amazing. Even at Dana College, even I was NA 3A Division 17. That's where I would play. That's all right. You can laugh. Even in Division 17, NA 2A, 3A, there's some things that the coach said that we have to do to be fit. It's amazing what athletes will do. Look, they'll give up sweets to train because they value winning. They'll turn off the TV and go running because they value winning. They'll shut off their phone and lift weights. Why? Because they value winning.
Yeah.
Watch this. Abstain from physical intimacy. Not necessarily for God's glory, but to preserve energy because they value winning. It's amazing that they will chill on hanging out with their friends so that they can concentrate and study the playbook and watch film. Why? Because they value winning. Look, how much more? Those of us who've been bought with a price, those of us who have a purpose to breathe beyond football and baseball, those of us who live for the glory of God and are called children of God, how much more should we train ourselves to be godly?
Yeah.
How much more should we prioritize being spiritually fit? How much more should we train to be more like God? Train to be more humble like Jesus. Train to be more loving like Jesus. How much more should we train to be more compassionate like Jesus did? And train to be fit to live for the glory of God. We have great and glorious motivations beyond the NFL and the NBA and all of those things to be spiritually fit. Coach Paul told Timothy, train yourself. Because you're living for so much more than what your physical muscles can produce. This is about God, the one who died for you. Spiritually fit. So so the Lord reminded me, as your pastor, I get to be a spiritual coach. And the rest of our coaching staff, the leaders of City of Joy, we coach you. And we get to encourage you and to challenge you. And as your spiritual coach, I get to say, all right, let's regularly fast. All right, fast food, fast media, in order to feast on the Word of God. All right, I come into the locker room. This ain't nothing but the locker room. I come into the locker room and say, all right, let's turn off the TV and seek the Lord in prayer. And then I come into the locker room and say, all right, team, it's time to get off of Facebook and get your face in the book. All right, same thing. Let's cut back on social media so that we can search the Lord in the scriptures. Yeah. All right, team. Some of the people that were hanging around, they're not really benefiting our walks with Jesus. So, team, let's make a trade, all right? We're gonna have to trade some of those friends and some people that you need to get closer to. That's gonna help you love Jesus. This is a spiritual coach, spiritual warfare, spiritual athleticism. We're training for godliness. That's what spiritual disciplines are all about. So let's go, Team Jesus. He's already won. He's already saved us. And now, as we train, he makes us more like the owner of the team, Jesus. And he helps us to reflect his greatness and his glory in the world. I'm almost done. This first training session is almost over. But listen, as you train yourself, these powerful disciplines that we will study this summer, like fasting, prayer, scripture memory, fellowship, journaling, worship, look, all these really are just practical ways to help you encounter Jesus and enjoy it. That's what I'm going to leave you with. These are just practical ways to help you really get to know the one who died for you and become more like him. Spiritual disciplines are simply God-ordained ways to encounter Jesus. Can you say encounter Jesus?
Encounter Jesus.
That's what they're for. Spiritual disciplines are ways to encounter Jesus, like Zacchaeus did in Luke 19 when he's seeking Jesus up, climbing up a tree. Right? We climb the tree of prayer to seek the Lord until we find him. All right? Spiritual disciplines are ways to encounter Jesus, like the sick woman did in Mark 5, who was bleeding and she ran behind Jesus and grabbed his garment. Look, we reach out and grab Jesus in the Word until he heals our hearts. Look, the spiritual disciplines are simply ways to encounter and enjoy Jesus, like that forgiven sinful woman did in Mark chapter and Luke chapter 7, when she came and washed Jesus' feet with her tears. When we pray, we're like this woman. As we come before the Lord, when we get into the Word, we're like this woman as we worship and enjoy Jesus. When we get into a place of fasting and prayer, we're like Zacchaeus climbing up the tree to see Jesus. God has given us, brothers and sisters, spiritual ways to spiritually enjoy him. And this ain't even in my notes, so I think this is of the Holy Spirit. Listen, you ever wonder why somebody's more fit than another person? Well, there really ain't no secret. Why they weigh 700 pounds and sleeping with Twinkies and can't climb two steps? How can they still lift 500 pounds and squat a ton? And because he wasn't just chilling all day. He was actually at the gym. How was he decreasing his 40 time by 0.2 seconds? Well, he wasn't lazy. He had a parachute on 100 every day. the same way. How is that sister so? How does she know the Lord? I want to know the Lord like her.
Yeah.
How does this brother walk with Jesus like that and have his boldness?
Yeah.
It's not a secret. It's been working out in the Bible.
Yeah.
Been on his face in prayer. He told his friends that keep pulling him away from God. I got to chill with y'all. I got to be with the brothers and sisters that after Jesus. There's no secrets.
Yeah.
Train yourself for godliness and get off the couch.
Yeah.
Train yourself for godliness and stop making excuses. Train yourself for godliness and stop pushing the spiritual snooze button. That's how. God makes you fit to be used in this world for his glory. Let me just close like this. Some of y'all know that me and my sweet, beautiful wife on Wednesday celebrated. I know you don't believe it. I know you don't believe it. No one will look like it. We don't know what to say for you. We don't look like we've been through. What we've been through. Okay, see, I'm being hard. But anyway, 20 years.
Yeah.
Married. Somebody ought to praise God and send us some more good cards. I don't want to say I'm just want to be confused. We celebrated 20 years. And something I was thinking about is that 20 years of marriage does not guarantee closeness with each other.
Yeah.
Just because we know and love each other don't make staying close automatic. Right? Right? So that's why God gave us what I call a love week.
All right.
This week was, oh, she said, all right, all right, all right. Let's be, all right. Praise Jesus. No kids this week. They went to BBS. I just listed some stuff. From 9 to 12, me and my sweet wife, it was just us for the first time in 16 years. We didn't know what to do. Amen. Peeking at each other. We thought something was happening. I didn't know. Like, no. Silence. We had, watch this, Devin, we had uninterrupted talks, all right?
Yes.
All right, uninterrupted. People with kids know what I'm talking about. We had uninterrupted listening, all right, to each other. All right, we were holding hands in a special way. I even bought her a bike. I mean, we just went to Target, and you notice this is good right here. I bought her a bike, and she was riding a bike through the aisles of Target. Oh my God. She was looking good on that bike. Watch this. Love week. Right. We got some new wedding rings after 20 years. That wedding ring I got from the grocery store. Hey, it's gone. We got some white gold. What else? Breakfast. We went to breakfast a couple of different times, right? And didn't have to bring back no donuts and no little nuts, all right? It was all good. We hung out with the oldies. The Oberhausers who celebrated 21 years. Let's give it up for the oldies. 21 years! We looked at some old pictures. We prayed. We were in the Word. We prayed and encouraged others. We had this fancy romantic dinner in St. Louis. Cuddled up on a little couch. I mean, look, it was love week.
Yes, praise God.
And you see, through these graces, our love was rekindled.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, these kind of things cannot just happen over no love week while the kids are away, right?
Yeah.
But every week. And we get to do these things regularly. God has blessed our marriage. And why do I say all of that? Just to say this before we respond in song. Worshiper of Jesus in the same way. In the same way. Just because you know and love the Lord
don't make staying close to him automatic.
Yeah.
You got to get you some love weeks in.
As a matter of fact, you get to walk with the Lord of love every day. Hold his hand. Talk to him. Stay in his love list.
Yeah.
Stay on your face in prayer. Walk closely to those that love him too. Push away from the social media and food even at times to fast and tell him I love you this much, Lord.
Yes.
These are the ways that you stay